Good morning. It is so good to see everybody out this morning. I know that the roads were slick, and I know that it may be caught. You're here. We can thank the Lord that really the weather didn't turn out as bad as. But we're all here this morning, and that's a good thing. For those of you who are visiting, we're so glad that you are here. We're glad that you chose to join us as we worship our God together, and we're so thankful for your presence. Let us get to know you, and let us be able to introduce ourselves so we can show you who we are and what we're all about. And I don't know if I sound like a broken record when I'm saying this, and it doesn't really matter because it really needs to be said. If you are missing out on Sunday morning's Bible class, you truly are missing out. And no, Gordon is not paying me to say this. No, this isn't one of those things where, I'm trying to, he did try to bribe somebody this morning, so I wouldn't put it past him. But we are treading deep waters in that Bible class, but there are not very many people who can present that subject in a manner that it was presented this morning, in a way that's understandable, in a way that really is so applicable to us, and it really is something that is necessary to us as Christians and a concept that we all need to understand. So if you have not been here, let's find a way to make it here if you possibly can. And we understand that there are some who can't, but if you can, it's well worth your time. Tonight, if you've all been looking at your bulletins, if you notice for this evening, we're going to be having a guest speaker. Now, this is a man, I'm not going to give him a full introduction right away, but I'll do so tonight. But he's a man that I respect tremendously. He's an instructor at the Bear Valley Bible Institute, and he's been preaching the gospel for basically his entire life. And I know that if you are able to make it out this evening, that lesson will be well worth your time. We've been talking over the last several weeks as to why it is that we should love Jesus. We discussed week one. One of the reasons why we should love Jesus is because He provides us truth. And as was mentioned this morning, He provides us the truth or the path that leads us into the light. And we discussed a number of reasons why that's true and why it is that we should love Jesus because of that. Number two, we discussed that we should love Jesus because He is on our side. Even though we can tend to be a sinful people and we all sin and we all make mistakes, that does not mean that Jesus turns away from us and that He serves as our propitiation and as our advocate and as our example, and He is on our side. This morning, we're going to be discussing a topic that's seen throughout the epistle of 1 John. And it's a topic that John discusses throughout all of his writings, and he does so very well. And we're going to be discussing why it is that we should love Jesus, and it's because of the love of Jesus. And if that doesn't make sense right now, we're going to get farther into it, don't worry. But we're going to be discussing the love of Jesus this morning, and we're going to be doing so next week as well. But we have introduced this topic of love that is talked about continually throughout 1 John. Love in Scripture is a lot of times different, or it's discussed differently than sometimes the world likes to portray it as or to perceive it as. Love in the world can sometimes come off as somewhat of a fairy tale, if you will. It's this kind of thing or this topic that is discussed when things are going perfectly and when everything is going our way, and that in love, nothing bad ever happens, and that everything is just smiles and sunshine and all of those kinds of things. But it doesn't have to be between a couple or between in that kind of way. It can be between a group of friends. It can be between a group of or just a couple of people. But everyone that seeks after this kind of love through experience and through knowledge, we start to realize that a perfect fairy tale type of love doesn't really exist in the way that the world tries to make it seem sometimes. Love in Scripture is talked about very differently than the world talks about love. When we talk about love in Scripture, a lot of times it's coupled with very challenging type concepts that a lot of times have to do with sacrifice. It is often associated with these kinds of challenges. And it's very realistic in nature. But what I want us to try to do this morning is I want us to try to set aside all of the worldly influences that have infiltrated this particular topic. One of the major things that we struggle with when studying Scripture sometimes is taking our perceived ideas or our preconceived ideas and taking that away from what the Bible teaches. Let us study Scripture and study the way what love is all about, and let the Bible speak for itself concerning this topic. Genuine love abides in children of God. Genuine love, we're going to see here in chapter 3 in 1 John, is something that originates or comes from God. In chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are." This word "bestow" means that God gave it to us. Being a child of God is a gift of love from God. Well, what does it mean to be a child of God and to receive this kind of love? In chapter 3 and verse 9, it means that you are born of God. And it speaks of this transformation that takes place. Of being a child of God means that you undergo this transformation that makes you unrecognizable by the world, meaning that the world doesn't understand you and it doesn't understand me because of this transformation that takes place. But he continues on to say at the end of chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." And he continues on in verse 2 to say, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet to what we will be." You know, it is said that a butterfly, throughout its existence, goes four different stages in its life. It starts out as an egg, and it's laid in that type of way, and then it grows, and it becomes a caterpillar. And if you've gone through any kind of remedial science class or any kind of discussion in this way, you'd understand that it goes from a caterpillar and then it goes through this word that's called chrysalis. I was trying to pronounce that. For some reason, I have trouble pronouncing that. But it undergoes a chrysalis stage where they begin to process of turning into a butterfly. And then in the fourth stage, it matures and it grows and it turns into a butterfly, which is what it remains throughout the rest of its life. In a very similar kind of way, Christians have four stages of our spiritual life. We start out as children and we go through conception and we are born and then we become these small children that are pure and that are holy and that belong to God. And then throughout the process of our growth, we go through this time period where we endure the age of accountability, where sin enters our lives and we go through this stage of life where we are seeking God and where we have to return to the Lord. And then we become a new creature. We become this creature that is different, that is transformed. And that's spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But then there's this other stage that we don't often talk about. It's the stage that's past where we currently are. Right now we are sitting in stage number 3 where we are transforming and we have similar qualities of what it is that we're going to be like in that fourth stage, but we're not quite there yet. We're not quite in that stage. And we exhibit some characteristics of the Father, it says, but we are not at our final state yet. It says, continuing on, it says, "We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is." The love that is from God is a kind of love that not everybody has. Now, don't misunderstand me, because God does love the world, and we're told that in John chapter 3 and verse 16. We've brought that verse up a number of times throughout this study, that God loves the world, but here is a different, unique kind of love that is mentioned here in verse 1 that's given to us as children of God, as those that belong to Him, as those who are born of God. And if we live as His children, then we will become like Him, seeing Him for who He really is, as it says at the end of that verse. What is it that we want most in life? Some of us want our dream house. Some of us want to climb the corporate ladder of our jobs, or whatever it is that we want. Some of us want flashy and big cars. What is it that we want most in our lives? It says at the end of chapter 3 in verse 1, it says that we have the potential to see the love of the Father and the love that He has given to us. What this means is that the world does not recognize us because they do not understand. We as children of God are in a very unique position. And the reason why I bring up the focus of our life is because sometimes we focus so much on other things that we forget about what it means to be a child of God. This love that comes from God is so unique that it only belongs to those who belong to Him. Children of God are those who have the love of God in them. But if our life is recognized by the world, then we are not concerned about seeing God's love. You know, when we think about our lives and we try to put our lives into perspective of from the world, and we think about what the world thinks is important, and we think about what the world strives for, we think about the priorities that they have, and it shouldn't match up with what our priorities are. The world has a very different perspective towards priorities, but it also has a very different perspective towards love. And because we are those who have the love of God abiding in us, that means that we are sharing that love in a way that it manifests throughout our lives, and it makes our lives unrecognizable throughout the world. Manifesting the Father's love is trying to be like Him. We see very importantly at the end of chapter 3 in verse 1 that we see the love of the Father and that He of what He has given to us. Genuine love comes from God. And we're just beginning to develop this idea. But if genuine love is from God, then what does that mean for the people of God? That means genuine love is demonstrated through the manifestation of our hearts. Let's continue on in John chapter 3. It says here, we're skipping a few verses, and that doesn't mean that these verses in between aren't important, but we're going to, for the sake of this lesson, begin our reading here in verse 16, where it says, "We know the love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. But as we mentioned previously, love talked about in Scripture is coupled with challenge and sacrifice, and this is one of those cases where we see so much love and so much sacrifice and so much challenge found in one statement. And we mentioned a couple of weeks ago how genuine love shows that you want what's best for someone. If I want what's best for someone, then I want to do everything that I can to make sure that that person gets to heaven. Whether we're talking about the brethren or whether we're talking about those who are outside, if we want what's best for someone, then that's what we do, and that's what we focus on, is we do whatever it takes to get somebody to heaven. That's why Jesus laid down His life. Because He loved us so much that He wanted us to be with Him in heaven one day, He did whatever was necessary to get us there. But John continues on to give us an example. He says, "But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. What is in a person's heart eventually will always come out. And when we think about what we do as Christians, and sometimes we get so caught up in the motions and in the fluid and in the daily living of things that we forget about what is truly important. We're taught to follow an example, and we talked a lot about that last week. But the problem that so often happens with that is that we get so caught up in the routine and in the example that we forget about where that should be coming from. And sometimes that can be accomplished just by going through the motions, just following of an example. But someone who is going through the motions is, in most cases, when an opportunity arises, will say one thing and do another. Think about that for a second. What we say should match up with what we do. It says, "Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. This is talking about putting your money where your mouth is. If we say we are going to do good and it has never actually happens, is that okay as long as our intentions were good? One of the things that the world tries to tell us is, as long as our intentions are good, then that's all that truly matters. Meaning that if I say that I'm going to give to a particular cause for the Lord and then I never actually do it, then it's just as good because I intended to do it in the first place. That's not what this verse says here. It says that there's really two kinds of love. There's love by means of word and tongue, and then there's love by means of deed. So let us not love each other by means of word and tongue, but let's love each other by demonstrating it through our actions, through the manifestation of our hearts. When we talk about the heart, again, that can be a concept that's something that seems very abstract. What does that mean? From the heart. It means from our inner being. It means that our bowels are not being shut up against those who are in need, is what this verse literally means. What is the manifestation of our hearts as children of God? When we're just doing things out of obligation or by following, you know, just mindlessly following an example, And it does not come from love, what is it that we are doing? You see, the manifestation of our hearts means that we love the brethren. And because we love the brethren, that means that we are going to take care of their needs, no matter what the sacrifice is. What greater substance could God have given for each and every single one of us? And the reason why we keep coming back to that example is because that's the example that John gives. He says to us that Jesus died, therefore we are to give our lives for the brethren. And no, we may not ever be asked to actually put our lives on the line, our physical lives, because of how protected we are in this country. But what kind of sacrifice are we willing to give on behalf of the brethren? These different kinds of love are types of love that were demonstrated by God. And if we're allowing Scripture to dictate what our concept of love is, then love is genuine, and it's a love that's demonstrated and not just spoken. God defines genuine love, and he says that true love is demonstrated by doing what is best for our brethren. What is done outwardly is a lot of the time a good sign of what's in the inside. What we do on the outside is a reflection of what we are on the inside. And if the love of God abides in an individual, then it will show towards the brethren. Who would you be more likely to believe? Would you be more likely to believe someone who says that they love you over and over and over again? They say, "I love you," and throughout your whole life they've said they loved you, but never did anything to show it. Or would you believe someone that would do anything for you, who has demonstrated it over and over and over and over again? Why is it so many times that we say we love the brethren, but we do nothing about it? We can say it all we want. I can say I love you all I want. But it doesn't mean anything unless we do something about it. Be that person for the brethren. We have looked at the source of genuine love and who should be practicing it, but what is the end result that we're going to see here? Genuine love provides confidence for our heart before God. One of the major themes that we see throughout 1 John, and I understand that we're not covering every verse in this epistle, but one of the major themes that we see is the assurance that we have in being a Christian, in walking in the light. Has anyone ever asked you, if the Lord would return today, would you go to be with Him? Has anyone ever asked you, would you go to heaven if the Lord came back right now? Right this very second? And if so, what is it that you said? Did you sit there and maybe think about it for a minute and say, well, you know, I'm not really sure? Or maybe some recollection of sin popped in your mind, or whatever it was that popped in your mind. What is it that you said in response to that question? If you've never been asked it, then that's okay. But there's this misconception that these false teachers in the first century were teaching that somewhat goes along the same train of thought that we have today. That we are not going to know whether or not we are saved until Judgment Day comes. Well, if we have that idea, not only do we have the wrong perspective towards Judgment Day, but we do not have the right perspective towards our salvation while we are here on earth. Sometimes we get this into our mindset that we are not going to find out. That comes from a wrong idea, but it also misses the mark in what John is teaching here in this passage. He continues on in John chapter 3 in verse 19. He says, "We will know by this, that we are of the truth." And when we say of the truth, that's the same thing as walking in the light, or walking in the truth, or abiding by the truth. John uses these different phrases just in a different way, in a different context, but he uses these phrases to portray somewhat of a similar idea of being in the light. But he says, "We will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our heart before Him." Now let's keep this in context. This is not saying that anybody who does good works or anybody who is a good person will make it to heaven, because that would be completely ignoring the rest of Scripture. But those who are New Testament Christians, those who have been obedient to the gospel, those who are walking in the light and have been forgiven of their sins, can know that they are walking in the truth by this. In a broader context in 1 John, we know that we are walking in truth because we no longer go on practicing sin. We've seen earlier on in the book of 1 John in the first couple of chapters. But in this immediate context, we know that we are walking in truth, or that we are in truth, because we love the brethren in an active kind of way. If we are those who love the brethren, we know we are walking in truth. Meaning that we are going to want to do everything that it takes to make sure that we not only get ourselves to heaven, but we want to bring everyone who is around us with us to heaven. In whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 through 22. This confidence comes through reading John's writings and through understanding what it is that he's trying to say. There are a lot of results that we wait for. We wait for a doctor's results when we're sick to find out what's wrong with us. We wait to find out whether or not we're going to get a particular promotion. We wait to find out whether or not a family member is going to return to the Lord. What we don't have to wait for is to be sure, to have that blessed assurance that we are walking in the light. We don't have to wait for that. We can know today, right now, whether or not we are walking with the Lord. God promises that He will provide what we need if we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing to Him. And a part of what we need is that blessed assurance. We sing that song so often, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. But how often is it that we actually mean it? We need to pay attention to the words that we so often sing. I know I yell a lot and I'm working on it, but sometimes I just can't help it. Jesus provided our hearts that confidence that we need to be assured about our salvation and about our walking with Him. Genuine love abides in children of God for three reasons. Genuine love is from God. Number one, genuine love is demonstrated just as Jesus demonstrated for us. Number two, and number three, genuine love provides confidence for the heart of a Christian. This kind of love that we're talking about is not a fairy tale type of love. This is not a love that we only imagine or that we only picture when we're watching a love story or watching a Hallmark movie or whatever it is that we do. This kind of love is what should be manifested from the people of God in this building here right now. If you have never been asked the question, if the Lord comes back right now, would you go to be with the Lord? Then consider that being done right now. Where is your assurance? Are you wondering whether or not your relationship is right with the Lord? And if so, we need to figure out why that question is being asked and why our assurance is not there. If you have any doubt whatsoever, then it needs to be fixed this morning. Because that genuine love is out there waiting for all of us. That love that came down from God as a gift, meaning that we can be called children of God in chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's figure that out this morning. Let's not wait any longer. If you doubt, then ask yourself why, and let's talk about it together. The leadership here would love to talk about what it is that's going on in your life, and we can share what's going on with each other's lives and figure it out so that we know that we are walking in the light and partakers of that genuine type of love, that real love that will challenge us and cause us to make sacrifices but will ultimately allow us to have the relationship with God that we should all long for. If you have any need whatsoever, whether you are a brother in Christ or whether you are visiting with us or it doesn't matter who it is or what it is that your need is, please come while together we stand and while we sing this song of encouragement.